Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and want to be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message about mysteries. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Verse 2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Verse 3. "But with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self." Verse 4. "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judges me is the Lord." The word mysteries in Strong's is number 3466. It comes from another word which means to shut the mouth, a secret or a mystery, through the idea of silence imposed by initiation into religious rites, a mystery. The Living Bible in 1 Corinthians 4, 1-4 says, "So Apollos and I should be looked upon as Christ's servants, who distribute God's blessings by explaining God's secrets. Now the most important thing about a servant is that he does just what his master tells him to do. What about me? Have I been a good servant? Well, I don't worry over what you think about this or what anyone else thinks. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but even that isn't final proof. It's the Lord Himself who must examine me and decide." Some see a position like a pastor as a career opportunity, not a calling to do things God's way. Many are trained to keep the church happy, comfortable, and settle for something that resembles a worldly organization. Paul saw his job as declaring mysteries that God passed on to him. Paul's conscience was clear because he had done what Jesus told him to do, step by step, and was ready for the last day. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 6. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yea, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing." Verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 9, On the Importance of Lordship, on page 136, Joseph Hedgecock says, "If you want to go to Bible school or seminary, and they actually teach truth, you are still not capable of processing it in your natural mind. You are incapable of understanding truth if you are in the flesh. The only way for you to process truth correctly is to be in the Spirit where He can teach you. Bible schools and seminaries do not typically teach how to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and walk in the Spirit. They usually teach that He is the Lord, yet they also teach you to make decisions from your own mind, your Lordship. You may try to be a good Lord, but everything you do from the natural realm is a dead work. In Satan's kingdom, the devil, as an angel of light, would deceive you and others with ways that seem right. The devil may not bring evil thoughts to born-again, spirit-filled ministers, because they would recognize blatant temptations. The devil does use scriptures and puts them together in a deceptive way to bring a conclusion that is not the truth. It's a way that seems right from the natural mind. The disciples wrote the gospel accounts but did not explain any of the parables in great detail. Many do not understand the parables even today because they are spiritually discerned. These parables are the foundation of our doctrines. But if you don't like the truth and conviction, you will not understand them. Truth always exposes lies that you believe to be the truth. God wakes you up to areas where you have hardened your heart to the Holy Spirit, where you want something or believe lies to make it easier on your flesh. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and reading verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Paul did not blame anyone else for mistakes he made in his training. With the Holy Spirit as his teacher, he had to be ready for the unexpected. Cleanse yourself from those things that are causing you to miss God's perfect timing every day. You cleanse yourself by repenting of the root reason why you did not ask God under pressure. You should be trusting God to provide for your daily needs as you serve Him and others. Everyone should have a solid spiritual foundation based on the fear of the Lord, not the cares of the world. Jesus said in Luke 16, verses 10 to 13. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, reading verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is also unjust also in much. Verse 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Verse 12. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. To understand the mysteries, Paul had to get on the narrow way himself. He had to unlock mysteries for those who were still babes because they were unwilling to learn God's way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto you were not able to bear it, neither now are ye able. Verse 3, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? The Corinthians were choosing preachers that were justifying their lifestyles. This is like adjusting the word of God to fit your doctrine. Instead, you should adjust your lifestyle to fit sound teaching. The end result was that the Corinthians were still conformed to the world. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 25, I'm reading to verse 29. This is Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Paul was not concerned about the quality of his own life, but was faithful to the truth he had been given about living in Christ. He put himself into God's hands, and God used him more than anyone else to provide sound teaching. He went from the chief of sinners to the teacher of the saints in a short time. And so can you if you learn spiritually. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. This is Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Verse 12. But when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Hebrews 5:13 says, for everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will, in purpose, thought, and action. For he is a mere infant, not able to talk yet. The Jews were comfortable on the broad way, using basic teachings and sharing truths in a legalistic way, not from personal experience and repentance. They had lost sight of the fact that sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for their lives in thought, purpose, or action. Those who are unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness do not appreciate and resist God's chastening, trying to get them ready. You cannot change yourself, but you can respond to his commands and instructions using the witness of the Spirit. What God has started in you through conviction, he can finish by grace through faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 to 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we were all dead. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God's grace is there for you to learn a new way of life with him in control, where you make no provision for the flesh. Led by the Spirit, you'll fulfill the law easily through the Holy Spirit. You'll be passing on experience of a changed life through obeying the truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16 and verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. God is not going to show you things to come if you're not already following Christ on the narrow way, led by the Spirit. Some want a list of do's and don'ts to follow so that they can fit in some agenda of their own. There's only two rules in the kingdom of God. Number one, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. Number two, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you not to do, do not do it. Those asking God and communicating with him now will be ready for his kingdom when he is here ruling on this earth. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Converted Jews had seen the fruit of repentance from obeying the Spirit after the day of Pentecost. With the law, they had conviction, with no means of getting to the root of sin without the Holy Spirit. Those Jews who had not been baptized and crucified the flesh were tempted to justify meeting their own personal needs and desires again. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. Do we begin to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Verse 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Verse 3. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in fleshly tablets of the heart. Verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, or think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers in the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul had become a chosen vessel because he was using conviction and the grace of God to learn directly from God. God was able to use Paul to bring conviction again and again to those who had a heart after God. Paul learned to hear, trust, and obey God and represent him without adding his own ideas or theories or taking away from what God said. The Corinthians were changing, and God was getting the glory directly. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Those who rely on the Spirit of truth to recognize lies are departing from the iniquity by being faithful to the truth. Paul was telling Timothy to be faithful in basic tasks as well, to make him into a vessel of honor. To reach your ultimate calling, you must go through an apprenticeship of serving. The servant is not greater than his master. Jesus is the master. and the greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant of all. By serving, you are getting ready to lead. Paul discovered the mysteries submitted to God about the kingdom of God, and God making a way for him when the situation looked hard or impossible. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 to 13, I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. The Jews went into the wilderness for God to show them things he did not want others to see. Lessons learned by the Jews in the wilderness, trusting God, were for the last generation too. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He called Jesus a rabbi or teacher, even though the miracles confirmed that Jesus was the Messiah. He did not see Jesus as the source of all truth and revelation. He was blinded by his own knowledge of the law. Have you become religious? We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 29 and 30. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. Verse 30. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Along with the rest of the religious leaders, Nicodemus did not get baptized by John in the Jordan because of unbelief. Those who cannot hear and obey simple instructions from God are not spiritual, but carnal. You're also ignorant of what God has provided if you are carnal. Jesus said to the religious leaders in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, verse 40. And ye will not come to me, that you might have life. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 4, on Understanding and Enjoying Your Salvation, on page 58, Joseph Hedgecott writes, One major reason why Christians have trouble moving deeper spiritually is because what they think they know hinders them from knowing what God wants them to know. For example, many Christians think they know all about salvation, yet have never spent the time letting God show them exactly what he provided for them when they were redeemed. You have to come to Jesus like a little child to get a spiritual understanding. Do not rely on your interpretation of the Scriptures using your own mind, because through the mind you cannot come to truth. We read in Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. For whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The word humble is number 5013. Comes from another word which means to depress, figuratively, to humiliate, in condition or heart, to abase or bring low, or humble oneself. Noah Webster in 1828 in his dictionary described humility like this: freedom from pride and arrogance, humbleness of mind, a modest estimate of one's own worth. In theology, humility consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God, self-abasement, penitence for sin, and submission to the divine will. The kingdom is here now, already, so that you can safely become like a little child. Jesus knew everything in his divinity because he wrote the plan of salvation. However, he came to this earth in human form when the Father decided and chose to know nothing until the Father revealed it to him by the Spirit. Jesus never became the authority or assumed something was needed. He stripped himself of all his authority to save us. Many today are trusting in the fact that being born again is enough to be ready for his kingdom. But this is choosing ignorance. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Verse 8. The mind blows where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. If your life is not looking like it is Spirit controlled, I suggest you have not entered the kingdom of God. The Jews had to go on a 3-day journey in the wilderness from Egypt on the other side of the Red Sea just to experience the kingdom of heaven on earth. If you're born again, you have the forgiveness of sins, God's Red Sea, in a direct link to the heart and mind of God through the Holy Spirit living inside you. Now, as a child of God, you also have to enter the kingdom of God and live there to get all the help you need. If someone wants to see the kingdom themselves, they have to be born again first. But if you want to enter the kingdom, you need to make a journey by humbling yourself, getting in Christ, and being buried with him and raised to newness of life, obeying the Spirit consistently. Paul said in Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. This is Acts chapter 14, I'm reading verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium and Antioch. Verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is coming back for those who are humble and do whatever he says. Trials and difficulties will help you continue in the faith, as you also need to obey even when it's uncomfortable or unpleasant. We read in John chapter 3, verses 9 to 15. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Verse 10. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that which we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and ye have received not our witness. Verse 12. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Verse 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus had a natural education. Jesus was speaking of what he witnessed and saw God do. Those living comfortable lives in the world cannot believe or enter the kingdom, or even get a glimpse without being born again. Those who've made him functional Lord of their lives enjoy the kingdom of God now on earth. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, I'm reading verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." Verse 21. "Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God by the Spirit has been here for nearly 2,000 years. And still a mystery for many. Time is nearly up and the tribulation will start soon. Jesus experienced the Father's help on the cross, serving mankind. Others will see the fruit of the kingdom of God when you are denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. "And if there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies," verse 2, "fulfill my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." Verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Those changing get more knowledge and revelation because they have the right foundation. Paul mentions several things. Number one, having the same ability to love as Christ. Number two, having the same mind as Christ. Number three, being focused on serving as God directs. Number four, having a desire to serve others who are serving Christ. Number five, being meek, ready to endure correction. Number six, not seeking vainglory or position or rank. Number seven, not causing strife with anyone. Number eight, esteeming others better than yourself. Number nine, helping others to be more effective for the kingdom of God. And number 10, assisting those already serving and do basic tasks to them like carrying water or a meal once a week. Do not be afraid to serve in an imperfect situation. This will help you grow faster spiritually. In God's method of learning, you get knowledge and information on a need-to-know basis. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Starting in verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Verse 2. "And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing." Verse 3. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing." Paul learned to hear God and do everything with the right motive. He was always seeking God's approval, doing what was pleasing to God and not relying on outward appearances. To please God in everything requires diligently hearing and obeying in faith with the right motive. Paul continued in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 13. I'm reading Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Verse 6. being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, wherefore God has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, so now not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more, because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Those born again that fail to fully represent Christ choose to believe lies in their hearts about God because they want something else in this world. Do not let anyone appeal to your dreams and desires to justify retaining your own lordship, to do what you want when you want. You cannot fulfill God's plan and serve your own interests. Obedience to the Spirit on the narrow way is part of completing your own purpose for being here on earth. Jude said in Jude chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. I'm reading the book of Jude, chapter 1, starting in verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude was concerned that the church was allowing people to come into the church and lead those who have not entered the kingdom of God, are still serving the devil, deceiving themselves and pursuing worldly interests. They may have a knowledge of the scriptures, know about God, but Jesus has not become the functional Lord of their lives by the Spirit. The devil has produced leaders who look like diamonds or superstars in the church today, but they are devil-made counterfeits, like the zirconium, without any flaws and polished. Jude was referring to those in the church that called Jesus Lord but refused to learn obedience. You can be the image of Christ instead. You have the grace of God now, but how you use that grace defines you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. False leaders in the church today have taught his sheep to move between the flesh and the spirit, because they have not settled the lordship issue themselves. We read what happened to Jonah in Jonah chapter 1, verses 10 to 15. This is in the book of Jonah, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Verse 12. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. The pressures that this war is going through right now are for the sake of God's chosen people to help them get ready. Those who have not made up their mind to serve God will be left behind. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, reading verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. There is still time for those moving between the flesh and the spirit to repent. Some striving will be involved, but make sure you enter the kingdom of God now, as the day of no repentance is coming very soon. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 18 and verse 3 says, And said, Truly I say unto you, unless you repent, change, turn about, and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all. Those functioning in the kingdom of heaven know Jesus and the Father personally in periods of service, study, obedience, self-sacrifice, as well as failure and forgiveness. Noah Webster in 1828 defined the word enter as follows. Number one, to move or pass into a place in a manner whatever, to come or to go in, to walk or ride in, to flow in, to pierce or penetrate. A man enters a house, an army enters a city, or a camp. A river enters into the sea. A sword enters the body. The air enters a room at every crevice. Number two, to advance into, in the progress of life as a youth has entered into his 10th year. Three, to begin in a business, employment or service, to enlist or engage in, as the soldier entered the service at 18 years of age. Number four, to become a member of, as to enter college, to enter society. Number five, to admit or introduce as the youth was entered a member of college. Number six, to set down in writing, to set an account in a book or register as the clerk entered the account or charge in the journal, he entered the debt and the credit at that time. Number seven, to sit down as a name, to enroll, as to enter the name in the enlistment. And number eight, to lodge a manifest of goods at the custom house and gain admittance or permission to land as to enter goods. We say also to enter a ship at the custom house. Those entering the kingdom of God have crossed over from death to life, involved in the activities God wants. They're advancing, attending God's school, serving and making steady progress. They are not perfect. They are repenting. They have some strengths and weaknesses, but they have submitted themselves to God. They are accountable and ready to pay the price for the goods and services they need to be obedient. They are soldier-minded, and their names are registered in the Lamb's Book of Life. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. This is Philippians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labour with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. Paul called the church of Philippi his crown because they were submitted and abiding in Christ and calling on God. God said in Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, this is in the book of Isaiah 55, I'm reading verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. The initial period of grace is for you to make the changes necessary to function with him as Lord of your life and get on the narrow way. This period of grace may last a few days or weeks. Some call this the honeymoon period at the beginning of the Christian life. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The truth is, if you're not following Christ on the narrow way, you're following the devil. There's no third option. The devil is going to use you on the broad way to deceive others. If you stay on the broad way, you will die and not be able to rescue anyone else. Only the narrow way leads to life. Get on the narrow before you die or before Jesus comes, whichever comes first. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. This is Proverbs chapter 14, I'm reading verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Nicodemus did not believe he was heading for destruction by leaning to his own understanding. Teaching in the church has been corrupted with lies based on one or two verses of scripture by those on the broad way analyzing the scriptures with their carnal minds. Without using the witness of the Holy Spirit, you cannot come to the truth. If you believe lies, you will never understand the mysteries. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 19. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You were sent here by God to do his will in humility like a little child. The bad fruit appearing in your life is proof that you need salvation from sin. Through obedience to the Holy Spirit, you can stop sinning and represent God by grace through faith. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 16 to 23. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 12 on Practical Applications, on page 182, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "The belief that you're automatically in Christ simply because you're born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature, the flesh. Romans 6:16 explains the nature you are in is based on who is controlling you. The only way to avoid destruction is to give up the control of your life and become servants of God. The narrow way to life includes the fruit of holiness now, and it leads to everlasting life as well." Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18, I'm reading to verse 31. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Verse 19. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse 20. "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Verse 21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Verse 22. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." Verse 23. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Verse 24. "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." Verse 25. "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Verse 26. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Verse 27. "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Verse 28. "And base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." Verse 29. "That no flesh should glory in his presence." Verse 30. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Verse 31. "That according as is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord." You should have been exposed to the preaching of the cross and how Jesus overcame by simply asking God what to do. He did not lean to his own understanding, but submitted to God. Christianity is not just another religion. Jesus Christ needs to be your first love if you're going to spend eternity with him. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Did you repent of dead works or just bad works at salvation? If you have too much biblical information or knowledge of the law, you might be tempted to do good works again out of your flesh. If you do not know how to do something, you'll be more qualified to do the works God has planned for your life by not helping God. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 20, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 20, For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 4 on Understanding and Enjoying Your Salvation, on pages 69 and 70, Joseph Hedgecott writes, All you have to do is listen and obey. Everything else is his responsibility. Stop helping God. If your spiritual life is not working, you are helping in some way. Remember this quote from Arthur Burt in Pebbles to Slay Goliath. If you help God a lot, he can do a little. If you only help him a little, he can do a lot. But if you don't help him at all, he can do anything. Let go and let God. When you do good works or obey the truths you receive from God in your spiritualized flesh, you are trying to help him. Your good works may look spiritual, but they will not produce intimacy with God. You should be doing good works because you have a relationship with him. You do the works he directs because you love him, not to get something from him. Everyone can now determine their own eternal destiny. God is always faithful to his word in response to the way you behave towards him. He lets you make the choices because he gave you a free will. The best choice for all eternity is to make Jesus Lord now, not just Savior. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 29 to 32. This is Romans chapter 1. I'm reading verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Verse 30. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Verse 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The devil controls the whole world because men and women believe a lie that they will not be happy without being lord of their own lives, doing what they want when they want. There is another way to be happy, without serving the lust of the flesh. Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. This is in the book of Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace and joy is available on the narrow way. But it requires Jesus to be Lord. Those born again who have only accepted Jesus as Savior, seeking peace and joy based on more desirable circumstances, easily give up and stop following Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Those who have repented of dead works know that being Lord of your own life ends in destruction. Paul was speaking to those Jews who were still babes in Christ and not mature yet. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 1 to 3. This is Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Verse 3. And this we will do, if God permit. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 7:13-14 says, Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction. And many there are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. Many have accepted a lie that if you are born again by saying an acceptable prayer to Jesus, that you are still on the narrow way. Everyone should examine themselves. The word broad means spacious. That means there is plenty of space for everyone to walk the way they want to. Broad also means there is no requirements for walking on this way. The broad way appeals to the flesh because it offers a possibility to be the Lord of your own life without submitting to God. Many never check to see if something taught is sound doctrine because they want to still function as Lord of their own lives. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Before you came to Christ, you were controlled by the lusts of the flesh. In the world, some are blatantly rebellious, while others are law-abiding due to the consequences. Mankind cut off from God is basically self-seeking. God is the source of all love. And those who do not go through a radical transformation at salvation are still self-seeking. We read in Malachi chapter 3 in verse 14. This is in the book of Malachi chapter 3. I'm reading verse 14. Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? By giving your lives completely to him, you're doing yourself a favor. Because without obedience to God, you will end up on the broad road. You are supposed to be born of God, not just born again. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, this is 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, that we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, Verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ or Messiah, you also believe that he emptied himself and took on human form to do the will of God by obedience to the Spirit. Jesus is divine. Jesus is the only one who could save us because he did not have a fallen nature. He chose to be born of a virgin and was like us in every way and never sinned. Jesus proved that you now can do everything without ever getting in the flesh. There is no excuse. God sent Jesus at a point in time when the Jewish nation were rebellious and occupied by the Romans that leveled Jerusalem in AD 70. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. I'm reading 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. You have to believe the word of truth in your heart, not your mind. What you believe in your heart is what rules or controls what you do. God is the source of all revelation to all those who put their faith in him. If you are still sinning and making excuses, it goes back to the fact that you do not believe that God is speaking all the time and he is in control. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, Philippians 2:14-16 says, Do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining against God, and questioning and doubting among yourselves, that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish, faultless and unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world, holding out to it and offering to all men the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have something of which exultantly to rejoice and glory in, that I did not run my race in vain or spend my labor to no purpose. Your training starts with basic tasks and learning through the response of the Holy Spirit what pleases God and what does not. God's anointing for any task in the secular or in church ministry is the same, big or small. By doing what is pleasing to God, you should experience God's approval. Jesus said in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, I'm reading verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. God's approval is tangible. Man's approval might come later when they see the final outcome. How else will you function in a perfect kingdom for all eternity without God's approval minute by minute? His ways are beyond our ways. So what we do all the time is important. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. This is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. If someone else lets you down, then remember God knew that this was going to happen beforehand. You need forgiveness regularly, so forgive and you will be forgiven. He is in control. If you cannot forgive others, then you are not representing the kingdom of heaven. James said in James chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. I'm reading the book of James, chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. Without serving others, you will not learn how Christ overcame and have a reason to rejoice yourself every day. God helps those who learn how to serve. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 to 7. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3. For any man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he's deceiving himself. Verse 4. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Galatians 6:4 says this. Let every person carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work. He can then have the personal satisfaction and joy of doing something commendable in itself alone, without resorting to boastful comparison with his neighbor. When others see God giving you the victory in Christ, they will ask you how. Your needs will be met by doing everything out of love. You will reap what you sow. If you sow love, you get love back. If you do not like what you are reaping now, then change your sowing. If you are getting behind, ask God for you to reap sooner what you are sowing, so that you do not make any extra journeys on a way that seems right. Nothing can separate you from his love. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 35. Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity and distress, or persecution or hunger, or destitution or peril or sword? Verse 36, even as is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, yet amid all these things we are more than conquerors, and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that beyond doubt and sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Make sure Jesus Christ is your Lord. Serving others is still a mystery to many in the body of Christ. Some want to believe that everything is automatic just because they are born again. The modern church is still teaching that you can be in Christ without obeying the Holy Spirit. This is popular among those who want to use their minds and do what they want when they want. They are the blind leading the blind. Always check the fruit of the Spirit in leaders, not the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 22 and 23. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Jews were uprooted, and a new foundation was laid because they would not represent Christ. The keys of the kingdom were taken away from them and given to those disciples following Christ. We read in Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, starting in verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The mysteries are given to those who are willing to enter the kingdom of God first and follow Christ. Be corrected, serve, trust, and obey. Paul said in Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6, this is Hebrews chapter 11, I'm reading verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch got ready for eternity, and so can you by diligently seeking him. Enoch did not have a mentor or spiritual leader, but was inspired by the way God reached out to Cain to help him overcome the sin crouching at the door. Paul was inspired to use God's grace and mercy to change after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul said in Hebrews 9 and verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Paul let God judge him through conviction and learned how to be faithful to the truth. Conviction is a blessing, and you should see it that way. Because of this, he came to understand things previously kept quiet by God for the sake of the Gentiles. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Verse 4. Whereby, when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9, and to make all men see that what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom to regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually and not be earthly minded and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad way. If you know that you've resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Gilded Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking about mysteries. And those are mysteries that Paul discovered just simply by getting on the narrow way. These were things he experienced personally with Jesus Christ as his best friend. He experienced it with God. He made no excuses for sin, and he knew that God could make a way for him. This is not the way that many people are learning today. They want to learn in the classroom. They want to learn everything and understand everything before they start. But Paul was determined to grow spiritually. He saw himself as the chief of sinners. And yet he believed that God would give him a crumb from the master's table. And he used that to grow spiritually. And I pray for you right now that you will use every single thing that's coming your way. These are great days. This is a time when the grace of God is going to increase for the saints. As the darkness increases, so the grace increases. And I'm praying for you right now that you will be student-minded, that you will take advantage of this period of time for the saints to be ready for his appearing. And by faith, you will not be distracted by what's going on in this world. And know that this is the best time to be alive. Father, I pray in heaven that you will grant your people ears to hear what you're doing now. And that when they face trials and difficulties and challenges in these last days, that Father, they will not complain. They will not give up. They will not stop following you. And they will look at the condition of their hearts and use these things to grow spiritually. And repent. Father, I know you're doing a wonderful work in your people right now. And I pray you complete that work in all those who trust in you. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for listening. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.